With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And let's begin.
And let's begin. My name is Carey.
My name is Laura.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique Podcast.
It's not Tough Sicilian
Insatiable
Bitches.
Insatiable Bitch Goddesses.
Insatiable Bitch Goddesses.
Insatiable. Tough Sicilian Bitches.
Tough Sicilian Insatiable Bitch Goddesses.
I've got to be quite honest with you. I think your brain's a little scrambled today.
My brain is scrambled eggs. But I do have one note that we need to address. And okay. I just wrote it on a post-it. Ivanka's farts. Are you up to speed with the newest article or essay that one of Ivanka's childhood friends wrote for Vanity Fair?
No.
Okay, so one of Ivanka Trump's friends penned an essay for Vanity Fair exposing what a farty little cunty bitch Ivanka has always been. And one truly the best moment, it's like, I love that now everyone, especially Vanity Fair, is launching just like a speculative hate campaign against Ivanka. It's like
it.
with anonymous, mostly anonymous sources being like, she thinks she'll be back in New York, but yeah. No one will have her.
I'm obsessed.
And if they do, they'll laugh at her behind her back. It's just so
perfect.
Like, that's not journalism, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think they're accomplishing, but I'm eating it up. But so then they had one of her actual childhood best friends, who's now a journalist, wrote an essay basically being like, this is what Ivanka was like growing up, and like, we're not friends anymore, but here's all the like rude things she said to me. It's very like Caroline Calloway, Natalie Beach drama,
right?
But for like 35-year-olds.
Wait, so what are some highlights?
So Ivanka was always like the prettiest, most popular girl in school, and her father
must be hard for her because she's always been popular.
Yeah, but I think she thinks of herself as always being popular. I don't think that any of this negatively affects her.
Right. Okay, sorry, continue.
She was always popular. Her father is always a toad. He would make comments about the author, like, I think her name's Lysandra, make comments about Lai's weight.
Nice.
And one time they were at Mar-a-Lago and Donald Trump Jr. stole half of her grilled cheese sandwich, and Ivanka was like, hey, that's not cool. And Donald was like, you're doing her a favor, she doesn't need that. So he would say shit like that about her friend. He would always talk about like how pretty Ivanka was. Like, isn't she the prettiest girl? Who's more prettier than her in school? No one, blah, blah, blah. And like, Ivanka was just a brat. And the best part was that she said that Ivanka farted and blamed it on a classmate.
Fart queen.
I love the state of journalism these days. Like, this is a front lines journalism.
Fartgate.
For me, truly, Fartgate heard around the world. I literally has stuck with me ever since
I read
it last night. And then Daily Mail like ran a headline that was like, Ivanka, I have to find it because I took a screenshot. Truly Fartgate. And I hope that Fartgate blows up, because that is actually damaging info and tells you everything you need to know about someone.
Totally. It says,
the Daily Mail headline, Ivanka Trump, quote, blamed a fart on her classmates when she was a bratty teenager. And creepy Donald commented on her friend's weight, former best friend claims.
Oh,
I'd love a headline. If someone ran a headline about me blaming a fart on someone, I would KMS.
Yeah, that's that is like, you know, own up.
Yeah, please. I hope that Ivanka comes forward and apologizes for the fart.
Was Ivanka mean to Lysandra?
She just, like, didn't care about her as much as Lysandra cared about Ivanka. Like, Lysandra is clearly, like, the Natalie of the relationship, and Ivanka is the Caroline. And, right. like, Lysandra was in her wedding and stuff, and she just started to notice that Ivanka didn't ask her questions about her life and was, like, very self-centered. And when she brought it up, like, finally, because she started a new job the day after Ivanka's wedding, and she was like, weeks went by and Ivanka never checked in to see like how my new job was going. Then she sent her a text. She was like, hey, I started a new job like 3 weeks ago and you've never asked me a single thing. And she said, lie, I can't deal with this shit right now.
Lie.
Mm-hmm. And then she also said Lysandra always wore an Arabic like nameplate necklace. And Ivanka would be like, how do you wear that? It's such a terrorist look. Like, she became, like, a radicalized, like, because she became, like, hardcore Jewish and then would always be like, what does your Jewish boyfriend think when you have sex and your necklace is, like, knocking against his face?
What an evil bitch.
Psychotic. And then,
That's so rude.
It's so rude. And then apparently,
Ivanka, I can't deal with this shit right now.
Lie, I really can't deal with this shit right now.
Kind of
in love.
Also, like, amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, what do you expect? You're literally, this is like a family of
assholes.
Freaks. Yeah. They have gold toilets. Like, I don't think they're going to be like the nicest people to be around.
Yeah.
But she said also that when Ivanka was looking for like book recommendations, Lai recommended a book to her about a man that's like, some popular book about like a manager of a diner or something like that. And Ivanka goes, why would I want to read a book about a poor person?
So it really shows you, it also really highlights like how fucking hollow and like superficial Ivanka is. Like how like there's really not much to her at all.
Yeah, what you see is like, what you get.
But even like the media when like Trump won, and like I remember like the month after Trump won, they like, Barbara Walters did like a sit down interview with the whole Trump family, and like all the profiles of the fan, they were like, Ivanka's like the brains of the operation. She's the real shark. And like, even like the, you know, the liberal media that we all watch, everyone was like touting her as like the brains. And I'm like, she's kind of fucking stupid.
Yeah. Or like she'll temper Trump's like,
she didn't temper him
horrific
at all,
like, racism. She played, and that's kind of what this
into it. And she's not that smart. Like, if you actually listen to her in her interview, she's saying nothing. She sounds like she has marbles in her mouth, and or like that she's like has peanut butter in her mouth, and she says nothing. And I don't think she's that smart. And also, she has bad grammar. Her tweets always have typos. She's like stupid. I think.
Oh my god, her tweets have typos.
Yeah, she has typos in her tweets. I've seen it before.
That is actually unforgivable.
I don't think if you're the president or in the president's family, you should have someone writing your tweets. I'm sorry. Or like spell checking. But anyway,
nitpicky.
I just don't think she's that smart, and I don't think she's as smart as people give her credit for. Even like the people that like hate on her dad all the time, they always tout Ivanka as like the real shark in the, I'm like, no, I don't think she is. Like,
no, Ivanka's out for herself.
She's out for herself. And
she also hates like middle class people. Like Lysandra really roasted her for being like, she deigned to design jewelry for like middle class people that she would never want to be around. Like, just Ivanka wants to be around moneyed people.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean,
she was in that,
it all kind of tracks. Oh, that documentary, P.S. throwback for any high society heads. You need to go back in time, find the documentary. Was it called like Rich Kids? What was it called?
Born Rich.
Born Rich. It's a documentary from 2003 by Jamie Johnson, and it just interviews every rich kid in like New York, and Ivanka was in it, and that's truly the most interesting she's ever been in her life.
I think it was even earlier than 2003. Or maybe it was 2000, but there's this one kid who has like a side part, like a middle part, and he has like...
It's 2003.
Oh, 2003. And he, I think he's like a Guggenheim or like some, or his family owns a Guggenheim. I don't know, but he's like super rich. This might be the one you're talking about. And he seems like he's like always smoking
probably,
a cigarette.
Yeah.
He's like kind of, he's kind of addled.
Yeah.
On, probably on so much Adderall. And he's like, it's like, why would I take the subway? It's like, I'm not going to take the subway. It's like,
oh, it's truly it's psychotic. And the whole thing is on YouTube. I'm looking at it now. Just Google Born Rich documentary and do yourself a favor and watch these abominable people.
And Ivanka's in it. And I'm really surprised they didn't have it scrubbed when he was running, because it totally goes against like everything that Trump and his fucking like.
No, but I think.
Of being like
the big grift that Ivanka pulls off is that women find her to be aspirational, and so they like I mean, I grew up with Ivanka being like modeling in teen magazines and stuff. Like, she was always in 17 and YM, and like I like grew up knowing who she was as like this like model or like cool teen girl. And I think some people have gotten sucked in, and that image has never worn off for them. But that's like, I think all of that plays into it.
But the documentary is just like all about like my father is like, and it's funny, her, you really hear how much she's adapted this like bullshit cadence of speak, like the way she speaks, because in the documentary she sounds like a total like just like bratty like rich kid. Like, her accent, she doesn't have like the kind of the airs that she puts on now of like talking like very,
she's more vocal fry.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's a really good movie. I'm gonna rewatch that too. It's a true for any, like, if you loved High Society, you'll love Born Rich.
Also, the kid, Jamie, I think it's kind of interesting because, like, the narrator of it, I think his family's the Johnson family. And they, but he didn't know he was, like, his dad didn't tell him who his family was until he, like, found out at school. Like, someone in his class, like, according to him in the documentary, I remember he was like, he didn't know that he was rich, and then someone told him that he was. And he was like, what?
Who, me?
Can you imagine?
Who, me? My family? What are you talking about?
Tell me more. I'm rich.
Are we rich? I'm rich?
Someone told me today that I'm rich. It can't be true, can it?
Can it?
Can it be?
Speaking of farts. This episode of Rock of Love is extremely
farty. It's just
farty.
One long fart from beginning to end.
This is one of the craziest episodes I've ever seen on reality TV, because this is the episode where Brett decides to bring in, it's down to Lacey, Heather, and Jess, and he decides to bring each of their parents for a night at the house.
It's the final three.
So all their parents, instead of, he can't make the effort to go to see their parents, so they all have to come to LA.
Yeah, not in the budget.
And live in this stinky house with linoleum floors.
He's like, I would love nothing more. What could be the most romantic thing that I can think of is to invite your family members into this fart den.
Well, usually on those shows, they go to the family.
Yeah.
Like, even Tila Tequila went to the families.
This was first season. They're still figuring out, like, their budget stuff. And then next episode, they're going to Cabo. True. So they really had to, like, blow their Cabo load. So this one just needed to be, like, a we fly them in. We don't visit.
So they surprise the girls. Everyone, I think the girls were genuinely shocked when their parents came in. And also, I need to just address something right up front that we find out later in the episode. They've only been in this house for two weeks. They've only been at the Rock of Love mansion for half of a month.
But that's been long enough to completely seduce Heather, who's literally in love with Brett, and also brainwash Jess, who's like, I care about this man who you've gone on two dates with that have you've learned nothing about him.
And I need to say this, and strike me down if I sound insane, but this episode kind of made me like Lacey and her family.
What? Wait, Carrie, I have Cedars on the phone, and they would like to speak to you.
Wait, let me speak my piece.
Okay, I'm listening.
I think Lacey's unhinged and unwell, but I was like into her dad, like negging Brett and like trolling Brett a little. I thought
that was incredible.
Her dad was fully trolling Brett, and it made me kind of appreciate mm-hmm. him and appreciate her cool stepmom who was like her age.
Karen is everything to me.
Karen was like,
she was truly serving.
So don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know what I'm saying.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Lacey's family, Lacey came to troll. Lacey and her family came.
They
to
are troll. A family of trolls. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
I wouldn't want to like spend time with them or be in the same room as them, but I can appreciate that like they came in and kind of fucked it all up, and the dad totally got under Brett's skin, and like I think there was like some kind of like class thing going on where Brett felt like super insecure around Lacey's dad, because he not only was like self-made and like, I mean, Brett was too,
but it's
like,
just different.
He loved his daughter and like had high standards for her in his eyes. And I think he was kind of like, well, what makes you so great, Brett?
Well, he's also, it's kind of that.
My daughter's competent on
it's a very it is like a class thing, because they're Dallas moneyed people, and
yeah, that was crazy to mm-hmm. learn.
And I think that there is a sense when you're from like a moneyed family of that ilk that some rock star or whatever can't step up to the plate of like your own family wealth or whatnot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think he was kind of like,
I mean, like, oh, you got yeah, this by like wiggling around on stage, like we invest in the stock market over here, like
yeah, he's like her dad was horrible, but like I just appreciated that he sort of like held a mirror up to like, Brett, you're not that,
you're no prize hog. Brett. Yeah, my favorite part,
he was like, my daughter's the prize
when
hog.
He goes up to Brett when Brett's like working out, and he goes, hey big boy, like
I also liked how Brett was like, because you find out, I mean, I guess we'll be recap, but this episode just says so much that it's almost like hard to like streamline recap.
Yeah, I have it like I have notes I can guide us on this journey.
Okay, so let's get into it.
So it begins with Heather saying that she doesn't super trust Lacey anymore. Now it's down to the final three, and they're making small talk and like nicely chatting, but Yu-Gi-Oh is off to the side just chiefing Sigs, and she, I think Jess, judging by just her hairstyle, is feeling confident but with a little doubt, because she does have a pointy little pony sticking up, but the rest of the mm-hmm. hair is shellacked down, so it and yeah. truly her hair does tell you everything you need to know about what's going on internally, so she's mm-hmm. half up half down.
It's a wild ride mm-hmm. her hair. I'm kind of like Lacey, okay, or Heather, now you're deciding that Lacey's untrustworthy, like are you kidding? Like this episode made me think that Lacey and Heather had like a deep connection, because Heather was like really upset.
Heather was really upset,
which I was like kind of shocked.
They took
by.
A bath together a mere yeah. day before, so I just.
I'm not even saying like gay. I'm not even saying like sexual. They just had this like very intense.
It was an elevated female friendship for sure. Yeah.
Where they felt like, because they were sort of aligned in this quest for winning Brett's affection, and I think they like kind of became one. Mm-hmm.
They did.
And then,
and now they're pitted yeah. against each other for the love of a man who wears hair extensions under a bandana.
Yeah, so Heather's wary of Lacey. And then
suddenly Brett. The doorbell rings and the Chadwells arrive. And
yeah, Heather's like, Heather goes, yeah, oh, fuck yeah. And like, it's like, she's like, yeah, yeah. And she hops over to her parent. Her parents are
they
really
look really sweet. And she says that she's never seen them together except for maybe two other times. And so I guess that means her parents are divorced. But I like that they both came and played nice to come to the house and like be on Rock of Love. I was like loving that for them.
Good. They were being good parents.
And Brett walks into the kitchen where they're all standing. He goes, well, hello. Good morning. Hello. Like, all kind of big dog, like.
Eddie
yeah,
Haskell.
And Brett and Heather's dad, David, talk football, which I just, like, zoned out. My eyes literally rolled into the back of my head, and I, like, channeled a demon while they did their, like, football small talk.
Yeah, Brett shakes everyone's hand.
He's a charmer when it comes to parents.
He is, and they... I mean, I would be charmed.
Totally, because a guy like that, his whole shtick is he's like the big bad boy of like LA. He's going to show you a good time and take you out on the town. And like, you have to let him do his thing. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't like Saddle Ranch, you got to pretend, you got to just be like, oh my God, Brett, we're getting the beer bong. Like, this is so fun. Like, make him feel like a man. Cause that's what he wants in this situation.
Yeah. He's extremely like with the parents. He's like asking them questions. He's like on his best behavior, which Brett never asks questions.
Yeah. He wants to impress them and like show them a great time.
So he's like, I think he feels like kin with Heather's family. Like, I think he just feels like they're the same things. They have a similar way of like joking.
And it seems. And
so he feels like immediately comfortable.
Yeah. It seems like they also have similar backgrounds. This was an interesting glimpse into just the socioeconomic levels and like backgrounds that everyone's fucking with. Cause like. Mm-hmm. The Chadwells are probably like more working class, I guess. And like,
yeah, she's from like,
yeah.
Illinois.
And like Brett, I think has those, that sort of upbringing too. So you just see them relating on that level. And then when Jess's parents come over, she's crying and Deb and Jim, they're a power couple. And I'm going to say it. Jim is hot.
Yeah, they looked like they, like, fuck still.
I don't know about that, but I was just like, they seem like a loving unit. I love it. You're like, they fuck hard. I love that.
I didn't like when Jess's dad compared her and her mom's tits with each other. I thought that was a little weird, but...
That was a little weird, but yeah. I thought it was from a place of, like, he was kind of lovingly trolling.
I don't think he was, like... No, I think it was... I just think it's... I don't know. I clutched my pearls with that. And that's I have limits.
I respect those limits. Brett says that he expected them to be really uptight and judgmental because I guess Jim is a banker. And so that was also an interesting glimpse into like what, like where Brett's insecurities lie in like a financial sector, like job, socioeconomic, whatnot.
Well, he's just never had, I think with men like him and like Lacey's dad, it's like Brett's never had, like, Brett got rich from partying, basically.
And like being on stage is like a sexy.
So it's like he's the opposite of them. So he probably feels like not only I can't relate to that and like they sort of represent like a life that I like can't even fathom.
Yeah.
But maybe like also secretly like. Long for unconsciously like that stability and like routine. I don't know.
Well, and also any bankers that he's interacting with work for him, so he's gonna he has very preconceived notions of their behavior, and they probably are like a little more uptight, like not as loose with him about joking about XYZ. But I was glad to see them lolling together, and then Jim and Deb seemed like lollers. Like, in general, their vibe and attitude was very chill, not over invested in the drama. And
they were very, I think, kind of like Jess.
And then Lacey's parent.
She did say, Jess did say something that I always am like sus of when she's like, my parents are like my best friends. I'm always like, that's just me. I love my mom. I love like hanging with my parents, but like,
yeah,
my parents. Like I have.
I'm the same.
I just think that I get along with my parents. I love spending time with them. They're fun. I probably would be friends with them if they weren't my parents, like, and I was their age, but you know, I'm always like wary when someone's like, my daughter's my best friend or something. And you're like, or like my son's my best
friend. I love that for those people. But I also wasn't raised that way. Like I was raised where my mom was like, I'm your mom. I'm not meant to be your friend. I was like, okay, I guess we're not friends then.
Well, I think arguably that's good.
Yeah, I think that's one way of doing it. I mean, I just was watching, I watched all of Better Things in the past week. Mm-hmm. And that really made me yearn to have three daughters that I was best friends with.
That one episode when she does the dance for her daughter.
The Batsonera. Yeah.
No, and she and her, they do like that music. They recreate that video for that song.
Christine and the, is it Queens? Yeah, that was so sweet.
Yeah.
I cried. I laughed. I loved that fucking show. I watched the whole thing in like a week, all seasons. Just blazed.
She's
really talented. And also I was like, it was a good representation of like, the balance of being a mom and a friend. Moms and daughters. But anyways, yeah, Jess is besties with her parents.
They're cute. Jess is really happy, and I think she's... I always, like, love... And it admittedly took me a while to get there because I was so, like, insecure and had so much, like, growing up to do that, like, I always love... people who are like so at ease with their families and like love being with their families and like are cool being with their parents in public, you know what I mean, and like not ever like
embarrassed or trolled
by it, like they're just so like they just love being with their parents and like proud to be with them. And I think I always think that's like really cool. And I know like obviously not everyone has like, and like I love being with my family now. I think it took me a long time to be comfortable with myself where I could like let loose and be like have fun with my parents in public and stuff. But Jess just seems like one of those people that's like always been down to be with her parents.
Yeah, she's not having any shame about being herself around her family.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, but it's harder when you have like when
it's
you're
hard.
And I think in your situation with like coming out like later on and all being totally. Like queer identifying, it's like much harder to feel at ease around your family when they don't know who you actually are. You've had like a tough time expressing that and them accepting that is going to make it difficult to be like living, laughing and loving and everyone enjoying life and expressing their truest selves in front of each other in public.
Yeah. It's hard to be with your... I think it's just hard to be with your parents in general sometimes.
I mean, still have moments where I'm just like, my God. And, like, I love my family, but it's hard.
Also, I think Jess is an only child. It seems like. I got only child vibes. And that also is, like, only children love being with their parents. People... You come from a big... There's a bunch of us,
so it's hard. So it's like, we're always vying for attention, but they're doting on Jess. And they're, like, they're like the trifecta, the triangle unit of lols. And then Lacey's parents show up, and I didn't realize that it was her stepmom at first. And I just thought, why is her mom the same age as her, if not younger? I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Her stepmom,
Karen.
What was her stepmom's name again? Karen was kind of.
Karen's
mean.
Beautiful. She looks like Karen Mulder, the supermodel. Blonde, like very patrician, waspy looking, great hair, poised.
They looked rich, but not like, they looked like wealth.
Yeah. And her dad,
when they walked in, looks like Robert
Duvall with like a gold Rolex and a chain on his wrist. And then I realized, oh, Karen's a stepmom, which was extra fun.
Well, Lacey's mom passed away.
Oh, that's why. Okay, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Lacey like ran and hugged her. Like she was.
Yeah,
so,
they were bosom buddies.
She loves Karen. Like that's her. I think she calls her like her parent.
I love Karen.
I do too.
And then Otis, I found to repellent, but that's just me.
No, I don't. I'm not like an Otis head. Like I think he's a horrible, like probably Republican, like piece of shit. But I just like that he.
Yeah, it was a good troll. So Brett and Otis have met before.
That was truly chilling to me. So Brett and Otis flew next to each other on a flight once.
Years ago, I guess.
Years ago. And Brett immediately remembered his face, which makes you think if you ever see a celebrity in public and think they won't remember you.
Some of them do. Might. So they had, I guess, a conversation on this flight that stuck with Brett. And because he was like, wow, I met this dude who was like really weird and creeped me the fuck out. And now it turns out that this guy is this woman's dad who I've been fucking and sucking for 2 weeks.
How
it's
weird
really weird.
And he showed Brett a picture of Lacey and was like, you should.
No, Brett
daughter.
Said, should I date your daughter? And he said, no.
Should I? Wait, that, how?
It's a small world.
That is beyond
Do you think
weird.
That's how Lacey got onto the show, or she told people about that? They must have said that
probably.
In like the casting,
because that's too it's too rich. Brett was like seemed like alarmed by
yeah those. They have a history, they have a dark history, and Otis is off the bat not a fan of Brett.
I think him and Brett are like past life
enemy,
like they've been battling for like
they've dueled they've come face to face. This is evidence of that, because in what fucking world
Brett and Otis have like faced off thousands of times before and like thousands of different time periods and like crusades, the Black Plague, like, you know, the
Middle Ages,
the Middle Ages, the World War One. They were fighting. You know, Brett was on the German side and Otis was on the American side, and they were like fighting in the trenches and World War II.
They died in World War One. They came back in World War Two.
And Brett was on this time was an American and Otis
on the
was
German,
like,
a Nazi, a German. And they fought again to the death.
Brett killed Otis,
and
so they've just been fighting and they always meet every lifetime they meet.
Mm-hmm. They're like twin flame energy, but twin enemy flames.
Yeah. And Brett knew he was coming. Mm-hmm.
He felt it. He felt a rumble, a familiar rumble. And as soon as the door opened, he was brought back to every lifetime that he's faced off with his greatest enemy, Otis.
And I think he was like, maybe that's why he kept Lacey. Even when the odds were stacked against her, and even when people pled with him to, or pleaded with him to like, please get rid of her, he said, no, there's something I need to see through.
Now. And he knew.
He had to get to Otis. They had to square off in this moment. And they knew, and they saw each other, and I think it's all unconscious, but I think they were like, mm-hmm. I got you.
So they have weird vibes between each other. But Brett is not going to let that slow him down from going on 3 dates in one afternoon.
Yeah. Good luck to Brett, too, for... I don't know how he didn't...
How does he eat and drink so much over the course of, like, 3 hours?
Like, I would be...
I wouldn't...
Day drinking like that, I would be like...
I need a nap. Yeah. I've got to pass out for a bit, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yep. Brett takes Heather and her parents to one of his favorite restaurants, Saddle Ranch.
For anyone who's not an LA resident, it's a famous bar on Sunset. Which, did you read that thing about how all the TikTok stars are hanging
It's there? Now a popular, it's popular again. It comes in waves. It has not been a popular spot while I've really lived in LA. Like, it's like, I don't think I've ever been there, but I've been to bars like that have the... mechanical bull in the middle of the bar, but this is like a full steakhouse come mechanical bull. It's like attraction.
It was in Sex
yeah
in the
when
City.
Miranda gets on the bull and rips her shirt off and she's wearing like a purple bra and she just like lets her freak flag fly in LA.
Yeah.
So but I feel like now, Sex like, in the Addison City Ray was and, the like, last time that Saddle Ranch was popular. And so cool. Now it's come yeah. back around full circle and Addison Rae's there 24/7.
Yeah, all the TikTok, I guess they like, it's like, in quotes, like quarantining or like it's social, it's a safe place to drink. But like all the TikTok stars go and like get wasted there. It's so weird.
Is there a TikTok house close by?
Hype House?
Yeah. Hype House is probably just up in the hills beyond.
Talk about fart.
That is a true fart zone and sticky floors. Oof. No. No. Brett at this lunch with Heather and her parents is giving me Jax Taylor.
Brett is he's fully alive with the Chadwells. He gets a beer bong for the table, which is so funny, and it's just like a giant tube of beer that they're it's like a giant it's like an 8 foot tall bong of beer.
But I feel like Heather's dad drank it all. I think Heather's dad low-key just like alcoholically chugged the entire beer bong and was like, let's get another. And Brett's like, lol, no. But I think he surprised Brett.
Yeah, I get that. I've done that before where I like low-key drink
the love thing it.
And everyone's like, wait, where did it all go? And I'm like, I'm not of this.
I love anymore. Drinking the whole thing low-key and then being like, I want another one. Anyone down? And people being like, no, that's definitely happened to me before too. All the greats have had that experience.
Dude. So, yeah, so Brett gets... Mr. Chadwell gets wasted. He brings up like a racist story. It's like, I don't, what the fuck? Like the mom is like, tell that story about the.
Did she say something? Because I didn't understand what they were saying. I didn't go back, but it sounded like she was like, tell that story about the Chinese person. And I was like, you guys, come on.
Yeah.
But then no one really tells the story.
No.
It's an awkward. Blackout. Yeah. It's a blackout. It's a awkward blackout parent racist story. And then but everyone skimmed it. Over Brett's, it and no one.
Brett's vibing.
Yeah,
with the
Brett's unfazed.
Brett is like at home with the Chadwells and Heather like gets up on the mechanical bull and
rides the bull.
Right. Rides it really yeah. hard. It looks like claymation at one point.
When it's like. Yeah.
Yeah. And she gets flung the fuck.
They fling
the
you eventually. They'll let you be sexy for a moment, and then they fling you the fuck off. I can find it, it's from when I went to Nashville. I rode a mechanical bull, and had video okay. of it, and I'll post it.
Okay.
As my own Heather Chadwell moment.
A rare post.
You don't get them often from me, but when I post, it's good. Brett then leaves to go do a classic Rock of Love move where he just goes in on another date. Then he goes to meet Jess and her parents at Rock and Religion on Melrose.
I wrote gross. A Melrose. Like, this is, you're taking, this is the date. It's like some shop on
you
Melrose.
You took them to like a money kidding? Laundering scheme shop on Melrose. I literally was
that
like,
probably smells like Spencer.
This was too close probably. To home in many ways.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally.
You know how it
yeah,
smells.
And I don't even think that store is like around anymore.
It's not. It's another rock store now.
It's just like an ever revolving door of rock themed stores on Melrose Avenue. Ugh.
Yeah, it's they have this woman named Michelle and she's like British in quotes.
She's a fashion expert.
Fashion expert. Hello, Brett, she says. Hello, hello, hello. So let's just, and she immediately is like, let's get into it. And she starts just flinging outfits on these people.
She's styling them. They all dress up. Deb dresses up like Brett. She cosplays. Jess is loving it.
Jess gets lit.
Jess
a little
is,
lit.
On yeah, drinking like a vodka crayon with no ice or something. I was like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. Who brought the alcohol? Does Michelle, the fashion.
The crew. I'm sure the production.
Or maybe they like let them, they poured them a drink in the limo. Jess, though, is like genuinely laughing at Deb's Brett look, which I loved. And then Jim gets dressed up and Brett gathers Jim and Deb and he goes, how do you feel? Do you feel rock? And they're like, kind of. He's like, cool, I gotta go. And that was the date.
Yeah. Deb and Jim.
Yeah.
They seemed like they were not taking it that seriously, which I thought was cool.
I mean, how can you? That's not a serious. They were probably there for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You didn't even sit down and try and get to know these people. You just did like a funny dress up. And then did he buy them anything?
I don't know.
I want food. If you're going to hang with me and my parents, you need to take us out to a restaurant. Like, this was another phone-it-in moment, which I feel like with Jess in particular, Brett has phoned it in on every date they've ever been on.
Yeah, they were on a beach.
Where there was, like, a cellophane-wrapped gift basket that no one unwrapped, and they were on, like, a private beach, but it was really just, like, off the highway.
Yeah, it was like Doc Wilder.
I love that Jess is getting indoctrinated at this point. She's like DTF with Brett. Did she fuck him in Vegas? She did.
Well, yes,
or at least like slept in the bed. We don't know exactly because Heather doesn't really say explicitly, but.
Well, okay, so we'll talk about that, but I feel like there's some confusion over what actually happened. But so then we go to Lacey. He goes to take Lacey and her parents out for like drinks and snacks at this place called Eat,
which is no longer around either.
Of course.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Lacey's dad goes full on into troll question mode. He goes, how do you stay thin?
He goes, is that real? Is that real?
He goes, are you from Oklahoma? Do you play golf? And just is asking Brett like a series of trollsome question, and Brett like can't even really answer before the next question is hurled at him, and he's basically just like doming Brett and showing him that he's in control, and this is a now just a full-blown pissing contest between these two men.
And then we find out that he's like, so if you do intend to marry my daughter, you're gonna have to sign a prenup, because Lacey apparently is like queen of investments. Lacey low-key. And this is where Brett really, I think, this is what gets Brett off Lacey as her dad. But also, I think he realizes that she's maybe not completely, like, forthcoming about, like, her lifestyle. Because she claims to be, like, a starving artist. But she's actually, like, a trust fund queen. She's, like, fully rich as fuck at 31 and, like, doesn't work because she has her dad invested all this money for her in, like, the stock
market. And now she just, like, checks in on her stocks every day and, like, goes shopping and tries to be like a singer.
And this is what I did. This is where, I mean, the dad fully lost me when he said, when he was like, unlike most women in the world, Lacey has her own money.
Yeah, I wrote, I was like, how wealthy is Lacey's dad? And then I was like, he must be rolling in it, because like it all started to make sense. I was like, no wonder he has a hot wife. Karen.
Well, who knows how rich he
well,
is.
Well, yeah, now. I mean, post-recession, anyone know?
This was pre-recession, right
before the recession. This was filmed like maybe months before the recession. So, and who knows how wealthy Lacey is, because if all her money was tied up in the stock market, things could have taken a dip. Yeah. I wonder if Karen and Otis are still together.
I'll go on Lacey's Instagram, because everyone's been telling me to listen.
I just can't do it, you guys. Like
I can't do it. Yeah, guys. I'm sorry.
I care.
I respect
and I love
journey.
That you guys listen to it, but I don't care. I don't care that much.
I don't care to hear what she has to say.
I have other things that I need to listen to and read and like live, laugh, love that for her. But I can't do it.
I'm never gonna listen either.
But you guys listen and tell us what you listen and tell us tell answer our questions. Says.
Lacey kind of sheepishly acknowledges that Brett is like, oh wait, I thought you were like a penniless artist.
She's like, no. Like she's full
we
devil.
Also start to really get the sense that Lacey's dad is a as my mom would say, is in the not my kid club. Which is a parent who thinks their kid does nothing wrong, and they're like they're completely well behaved and perfect. My mom always said that about growing up in our town. Like there were parents that whose kids were like insane alcoholic partiers, and they would be like, "Our kids are just they don't do anything bad."
Yeah, know? Though I do think it's cool that her parents and her dad has her back on the show, because I would not totally. If people were coming for me. I would want my parents to be like not my that's kid true. To them.
That's why I kind of admired their unit, because they seemed like they really like actually loved each other, and like the Karen and Otis were looking out for Lacey.
They were, but it also there was a lack of closeness. Like there just didn't feel like a warmth between them, like that you saw with Heather and her parents or Jess and her parents. And I don't know if that's editing or if they really just are like a.
Well, like they're like wealthy, cold.
Yeah, people, just like probably. A weird Dallas wealth family.
Yeah.
Then Lacey's.
I'm like, I'm gonna like go hang with the Otis family.
No wonder he has a hot wife, though. I was like, a troll man like that, you have to be rich to get a Karen.
Yeah,
Karen's yeah, Karen's great. Amazing. She like barely talks. You know that Otis is like, you don't speak when I'm speaking.
I love, unlike most women in the world.
Okay, Otis, awesome.
Your daughter has a
leash. Yeah, your daughter is literally a freak off the leash.
He also is like, my daughter, like, does this come later when he's like, Lacey doesn't
Yeah,
drink.
This is later. So then they all go back to the house, and then Lacey's creep dad is standing in her room, and then Heather, who like has taken a shower or something and is changing clothes, and then Otis doesn't do her the service of leaving her room to like let her change. And Heather,
no, that was really
I love messy. Heather's stripper power move is just like, okay, fine, like I'll just change out into my fucking clothes in front of this guy. Like she has no shame about whatever. And then no. Lacey says it's inappropriate for Heather to change clothes in her own room. I was like, tell your dad to get the fuck out of your guy's bedroom.
Yeah, make him
Yeah, leave. I would be like, you need to leave. Like, Heather's changing clothes. Like, let's go in the...
She tried to be, like, modest for a second. Like, she was like, oh, sorry, like, I didn't know you guys were in here. And then she was like, fuck it.
If they're not going to leave, like, what's she going to do? Go back in the Cheeto bathroom and, like, change in that, like, swampy... No, she's going to change clothes in her bedroom where her clothes and belongings are.
The man must
leave. Yeah, and then Otis just, like, stares her down.
He's like... Mm. And she's like, I've met a million guys like this before. And then they sit down for a really weird dinner.
Where they all are eating. Like, what struck me as very odd is that Brett didn't come to dinner until people were already dining.
Yeah, well, that's Brett.
Classic Brett.
I don't think Brett can't handle, like, small talk like that. Like, he can't. I don't think Brett can handle. Like, we really see, like, anytime there's tension or something, Brett, he literally just is like, I peace out. Like, he just immediately leaves. Anytime there's, like, something that he can't control or is stressful for him or is too much, like, he truly has... He'll leave the scene of the crime every single
time. What happened to him?
So, I don't think... What happened to Brett? No, I just think he has, like, famous person syndrome where, like, they're just like, I don't want to... Because when you have to sit down and, like...
Engage with people.
Face everyone and engage and ask questions. And, like, then Brett doesn't have to, like, ask questions or, like, you know, try to relate everyone to each other. Like, he doesn't have to play host.
Yeah, and he can just show up.
As the host.
And everyone is...
You just show up and be, like...
Excited to see him. So grateful for him. And being like, this food is delicious. Oh, my God, you're here. Like, yeah, you're so right.
Yeah. It's just, like, he can't... When you're, you know, listen to me, I'm fucking Emily Post here, but like when you're the host, you have to like, and you have people over who don't know each other, you have to like, you do have to make some effort.
Bridge
to, like,
the gap between
them.
Oh,
like Laura, you and like John, like we're at that thing, I think at the same time, or you know what I mean? And then like, you gotta get the party started a little. And Brett doesn't, the party already has to be started for him because he can't, he's so... Listen to me talking about Brett Michaels. I'm literally looking up at a jack-o'-lantern bucket from Halloween, and I'm like talking about, I'm like on my shelf, and I'm talking about Brett Michaels. A Halloween that didn't happen because we're in the fucking pandemic of the century and nothing is happening. And I'm talking about Brett Michaels. But he can't. Brett cannot.
His famous AIDS really comes out in certain moments, and this is one of them.
And he has such... I think he doesn't know who he is. I don't think someone like that knows who they are fully. And I think he can't... And these are people who, like, even fucking creepy Otis, like, these are people who have, like... They have lives and, like, you know, have someone else they, like, have to take care of. And, like, I mean, he has his daughters.
But they're not on the show. They're not, like, part of this journey.
Anyway, I just think that Brett cannot handle human, like, small talk.
I think you're right. No, that's an accurate read.
Yeah, so he comes
strolling. He comes strolling in, and right before dinner, Lacey sat down and told her family that Heather was a stripper and tries to troll her and be like, Heather, oh my God, you should get up on the pole right now and, like, dance, which is gross. Like, to do in front of your dad who already, like, eyed her devil.
Yeah, Heather was not. She just...
Then Heather takes her parents aside, and she goes into full short sweet mode. And Lacey's a fucking two-face. I'm calling her out. Her parents don't fucking know her. Like, this is it. I'm fucking going. And you can see Heather's parents, they emotionally disengage and then completely disengage for the rest of the time that they're in the house. Like, I think they fear and respect Heather's rage, but they don't know how to be with it.
No, they're afraid of her.
Yeah, they don't know how to deal with
short and sweet
Heather.
I'm gonna make this short and sweet. they're afraid of her, and they should be. And so Lacey and Heather are gonna go to war.
Otis puts in fresh pearl earring for dinner, which truly sicked me out.
Sick.
Disgusting. And then I love Karen. Karen decides to be the hostess because that's, like, the role that she's been born to play.
But that's what I like. I like that they, even though it went to a place of troll, like, you got it. Someone has to do it. And, like, and I was a little, and I know that why Heather was so, like, averse to even engaging with this family. But, like, even, like, they were all like, why were they asking us questions? I'm like, because someone's got to fucking ask questions.
Yeah. I think it's just their vibe is so... yucky that no one wants to. It's like they have a very unkind approach, and it's all very judgmental. I think Karen is, I give Karen a pass. Karen, forever and always, my queen. Karen
turned to Heather and she's like, so, like, what do you do? Or, like, what did you go to school?
I would like a chance to get everyone's bio. Jess, is it? And, like, Jess is like, I went to school, like, blah blah blah. And then they turn to Heather.
She goes, I worked 6 years at a company. I worked my way up. I was like, okay, no one asked. And then she's like, I worked my way up from being a receptionist. And they're all like, oh, okay. And she's like, now I took some time off to waitress and help my parents out with their company.
I love. And then Heather's like, she's short and sweet. She's like,
yeah.
I have a bachelor's in communication. I have a BA in this. I took a little time off to dance. I'm dancing now. I fell into dancing. And then...
She says I have a Bachelor of Arts in something and then a minor in communications.
And then...
What was the Bachelor...
I can't remember.
I don't know.
But then Otis...
I got a Bachelor of Arts in this and I got a minor in communications and that's all I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet. It's none of your goddamn business.
I want to keep this short and sweet. Karen, is it? Yeah. I got a BA in communications and a minor in sociology. And that's all I'm going to talk about right now. So why don't you turn the fuck around and eat
your dinner. Stop looking at me, Karen. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Heather doesn't make, like, turn to Karen when she
looks
her,
off. I think
loved.
Heather's doing that thing where you look off over someone's head and you make eye contact with no one while you tell them your bio. Heather's gone into scary mode. She, like, can't control her rage. And I don't blame her because these people, like, imagine being in her position after you've literally your lung capacity has taken a real hit from inhaling hairspray and Cheeto dust and the various farts of all these other women over the course of 2 weeks. You probably all have athlete's foot from sharing a shower. And now Otis and Karen are asking you your bio in front of Brett.
Yeah. In front of Brett.
And then so Heather and Lacey start this like passive aggressive like napalm lobby mm-hmm. at each other. They're just flinging shit back and forth.
Heather starts coming for Lacey. She goes, what does she do? No, just goes, she lives off of her investments and plays the stock market. And Lacey goes, I'm a musician. And it's just Heather launches. Yeah, Heather, you can't fuck with Heather once she's set her sights on destroying you.
Then Heather starts smiling and she's like, wow, I mean, you should have seen Lacey a few nights. Like, she really like went hard with the alcohol and kind of was falling over all over yeah. the place. Like when we were in Vegas, and then they cut to Vegas and Lacey just like,
she goes, you're fucking annoying. And then falls on a bunch of bottles. I was loving. And then her Otis is like, my daughter doesn't drink that much. She really doesn't. And Lacey's like, I usually in my normal life just drink beer. And then Heather's like, that wasn't what you were like the other night, falling all over yourself. And it was really awkward. Jess and her family, Jess has realized early on the best thing to do is to stay completely silent and like not get involved.
She learned that from her parents,
and they all, the Jess family just completely shuts up.
The Jesses.
The Yu-Gi-Ohs just silence themselves and then...
It's the best move
in this situation. They know, don't say a word. They all grip hands under the table.
And Jess goes, now we pray.
They have shining, I believe they have shining capabilities with each other because of the two parents' only child energy. They can just non-verbally communicate, like, and now we go into silence.
Yeah, they've gone into, like, the shining when Danny goes into, like, mm-hmm. a fugue state.
That's the Jess family, the Jesses. And then
the Jesses.
And Heather's family is literally terrified of her. So the Chadwells have also stopped talking, but it's out of fear for their own safety mm-hmm. when it comes to dealing with Heather's anger. And I love Karen is like, excuse me, Lacey, may I speak to you for 1 second in the other room? And then they go into like another room. And I don't know exactly what she said, but she was like, so Lacey, I don't want to upset you, but it seems like between you and me, this Heather woman is really being a little bit disrespectful. And Lacey's like, yeah, I fucking know.
Oh, Karen's really, she's being a good stepmom.
And she's just like has her pashmina.
She's looking out for her girl.
And like she changed into like her dinner outfit and she's like clutching her pashmina. And Karen just is not exposed to this kind of behavior ever.
No, she's like, Lacey, I fear that she might be, doesn't have the best intentions when it comes to you.
I fear that she might be trying to undermine your character right now at dinner.
And Lacey's like, yeah.
Please don't take this the wrong way, but I want to bring it to your attention that I do feel that she's being a tad bit aggressive.
I love your impression of Lacey.
Yeah, right back, I know. And Karen's like, okay, honey, great. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Let's go back to the dinner table now. Cool,
like,
okay. Let's fucking do it. Then Brett just excuses himself. He's out of there. He's not handle. Yeah, Brett can't Brett's take like, it anymore.
He can't handle the tension. He can't handle like family. It's just really triggering for him.
And then we cut to the next morning, and Brett is working out in jeans. 911. 911. You do not work out in jeans around me on my TV.
Don't do it.
Who?
At 24 Hour Fitness in WeHo, I've seen more than one guy wearing jeans.
Classic place to wear some denim to your workout. That is a psychotic thing to do. People that work out in jeans need to be collected and apprehended and taught about spandex, about shorts, about anything other than jeans. Like, why on earth?
They need to be brought to like V Week for mm-hmm. gym wear.
We need to load them into a van and just honestly, I would take them to the Grove, to Lululemon, and I would say, have your pick of anything here.
That's your, when you get, like, after you don't need to work anymore, you can just, someday, like, that will be your, like, you're going to start, like a low-key little brand where you just bring people around and teach them about leaf.
I am. It's going to be after I retire. Like, I'll come back to LA every once in a while from Italy or Hawaii or wherever I'm living, and I will go into places like Crunch and 24 Hour Fitness and Equinox, and I'll say, excuse me, sir, you're going to need to come with me. I'll show them a badge. They won't really know what's up, but I'll say, please get into this van. And I'll load up a lot of men that are working out in jeans, because a woman would never work out in jeans. I'm sorry. Like, that is never going to happen. It's always men. And I'd say, okay, men, get in. Okay, now we're going to... I'd get on the... like a loudspeaker in the van, and I'd be like, we're going to...
Or the trolley.
Hi, everyone. You may wonder why I brought you here, but it's really because you're working out in denim and no one...
Your family.
Everyone's worried. You're alienating all the people around you. You're a health and safety hazard, emotionally, physically, to yourself and others. And I'm here to intervene and tell you about a little thing called athleisure. And then we go to the Grove and we can go to Aloe Yoga. We can go to Lululemon. We can go to Athleta or the Nike store. And I am positive that we can come away with a better workout pant than these jeans you're wearing.
Fabuleisure or whatever the Kate Hudson.
Fabletics.
Brand. What is that? Fabletics.
Fabletics is also an option that's on the internet.
Ivy Park. We have a lot of things we can go to.
These are shorts. They have an elastic waist and mesh. Like,
and then you have like a whole thing where they like try it on and they have to like walk comfortably in front of others.
They have to do some squats. And I'd say, doesn't that feel... how do you feel in these when you're on the treadmill? Does it feel a little more free? And then they're like, yeah. And I'm sure there would be one man that really fights me and we really butt heads. But eventually... he comes around and realizes that I'm right and he's wrong.
Always. So Brett's pumping iron on, like, you know, those like free gyms at like a playground.
He's like boxing. He's boxing in jeans and kickboxing. Oh, yeah, I'm like, how are you moving right now?
And Brett's like, I'm focusing some of my rage on Otis and Lacey. He's like hitting. He's like imagining Lacey while hitting something. He is so worked up about
really...
Otis. He probably didn't. He had a sleepless night. He had like the only bad night of his life was last night.
He laid in bed and looked up at the ceiling. And he was like, Otis, who does he think he is?
I know, I've seen him before. I just can't put my finger on it.
He's getting furious, and then he put on his workout jeans and hit the bags.
He's going.
And then Lacey puts on some leggings under a dress, which is a real vibe, and her candies heels, and clomps on over to Brett. Still got a little limp in her system from breaking her ankle, and then sits on a ledge and is like, I think I have to talk to you about a few things.
So she kind of starts saying... she felt like Heather was attacking her the night before and just kind of starts shitting on Heather totally. And Heather, unbeknownst to Lacey and Brett, is upstairs listening to the entire thing.
Heather's on high alert. Heather is truly, when she went into like, I don't think I trust Lacey mode, she turned up the volume on her Heather hears, and she had her ears perked up for any mention of her name from then on out. And all she had to hear was like, Heather, like far away. And then immediately comes over to the balcony and is like leaning over and getting furious.
she and Lacey, or she and Jess are like, she's like, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to lay into that bitch. And Jess is like, do it. Jess is like totally, Jess is now playing the game a little because she's like, I'm going to let these
duke it out. And I'm like, I'm good.
She's like, Heather now wants Jess on her side.
And I love it. Heather's pacing like back and forth on this balcony. She's like, what a bitch, that fucking cunt. And she's like, I'm going to fucking destroy her ass. And like, Heather is going full short and sweet on a bitch's ass.
She is.
And Lacey's like trying. I hate how everyone makes a big deal out of leather.
Leather.
Heather being a stripper, like, get over it. She probably makes a lot of money.
Lacey's like, is that gonna be good behavior that you're gonna feel safe leaving your daughters at home with a woman who is stripping on the weekend? Like, she's just totally,
yeah, it's gross
her.
So Heather stomps down and she like just talks some shit to Lacey in front of Brett, who you can tell Brett is terrified of this whole situation, hates confrontation, and like can't handle it. Then
they start going at it, and Lacey's going, Heather, Heather, you need to lower your voice.
She's
Heather.
Doing that thing where she tries to like game the situation by looking meek or demure, and it's not gonna work. And then Heather, the rage takes over, and Heather follows Lacey into the house, and then in front of everyone's families,
including
Lacey's
parents,
who like poor Karen is like climbing up the steps. She just put on like a little Burberry bucket hat, and like she's wearing a tank top that's for like Bono's like red foundation. And she's really
they've
met at several like functions, and she really coordinated for today's like filming. And as they're walking up the stairs, Heather is rage screaming at Lacey, and she goes, why don't you tell your dad how much dick you've sucked since you've been here? Is that what she said?
Yeah, we find out she's like, you've sucked so much, you've sucked Brett's cock multiple times. He's let you suck his cock. I've seen it. And then Lacey's dad is like, okay, like, I think you need to, like, Lacey's dad, and everyone's just like, oh my God. And Heather's like, I haven't touched him at all. Like, I haven't slept with him once, but Lacey, and it sounds like maybe Lacey's the only one who's, like, actually fucked
I think
Brett.
Lacey's been fucking and sucking Brett since that weird, like, threesome kind of moment that they all had that night that they, like, partied hard. I think that's also why he's kept her around, is because she literally put like a spell on his dick. He was like, I want a blowjob every night that I'm here. So like, if this girl's going to come in and suck my dick every night before I go to bed, like, I'm not eliminating her until it's like the end.
Yeah. So Lacey like gets, so we kind of find out that like, yeah, I feel like maybe Lacey's the only one who's actually been like intimate with him.
Yeah. And Jess's parents are just sitting on like the back porch laughing, and her dad goes, this place is dangerous. And they're all just like lolling low-key, and Heather continues to just like tear Lacey to shreds.
And then Otis goes over to Brett, and he's like, hey, Brett
has
like,
refused to come inside. He's still boxing in jeans.
Yeah, he's still boxing. So Otis comes up to Brett and he's like, I have to talk to you, like, because she's saying that you're like, my daughter's been sucking
this
your
is
cock.
Where
and I was like,
so
oh.
disgusting. This is where he comes up to this Brett and he goes, hey there, big boy, which I was like, that was hilarious.
But everyone needs to stop saying cock.
Is that what they said? Because I was watching the bleeped version, so I thought they said dick.
No, they keep saying cock.
That is so, I'm sorry, but
he's like,
when you call someone a cocksucker, like, so I feel like that's so gross.
Yeah, and also like kind of homophobic.
Is it?
Like when a man calls another man
a
cocksucker.
Oh yeah, I guess I could see that being like.
But so he tells Brett that like, he's like, so, you know, according to Heather, she's now claiming that my daughter's been sucking her cock. And then Brett just immediately shuts down.
Brett can't. Like, you do not confront Brett. You, A, don't call Brett big boy in a condescending manner. And then you definitely don't ask him about your daughter sucking his cock.
He's like, you know, the sex life of my daughter is 31. Like, that's none of my business. But I was just like, if I never want to hear a parent say cock.
No, that's kid. So, I would be like, Dada!
Lacey's like, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, Lacey's so gross. And like the way that she is like kind of getting like her little girl lost, teary-eyed, like pleading act. I was like, this is disgusting. Like, she's bringing her bedroom shenanigans into the public daylight, and I don't like it one bit. Next to your father, you're like seducing both Brett and your own dad.
Daddy,
stop. Daddy. She's like, how can you let her say these things to me? I was just like, this is gross. Your dad just literally referred to you sucking Brett Michaels' cock.
And then Brett's like, I gotta go. So yeah. He bolts. And then it comes night time for the
night falls, and everyone has sprayed their hair to oblivion.
All the girls are standing with their parents, and then Brett's like, he comes down and he's like wearing a blazer, and he's like, so right now, you know, I am, at the end of the day, I am dating your daughters, plural. He's like, so I'm gonna need some time with them alone, so parents, great to meet you, but your tour ends here. So the parents,
my favorite too is pre-elimination, where it's showing like all the ladies getting ready, and Karen is sitting on the edge of Lacey's bed just shivering in her pashmina. Like, Karen has truly seen too much. Yeah, crazy. And she's had enough. Like, it's, Karen's been exposed to a world she's never known.
They want to go back to like
back to Dallas. Yeah, Hills, back to Dallas, please. Or
wherever their hotel that they were. I can't believe they slept there.
I don't think they slept there. I think they had to stay in hotels. Yeah. I don't think Karen. Yeah. Maybe she would camp out, but I think that they would feel more comfortable in a hotel.
Yeah.
Jess is feeling really confident. Her hair is almost totally down. I think she just flat ironed her little half ponytail flat. But it, yeah, you can tell that Jess is like, I'm fine. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Did you see Benny Drama's video where he impersonates the, like, hairstylist, like the woman at the salon doing your hair, and she's like, hey, and she's like, it reminds me of Jess. Also, Jess, kind of with her parents, sounds like Steve from Sex and the City.
Does she?
She's like, I don't know what. She's like, the girls are just fine. I don't know what. I'm like, okay, Steve.
My God, she is Steve.
Right?
It all comes down to Heather and Lacey. It's two girls, one pass.
Yeah.
And Brett says,
"So he,
it comes down to one thing. Who is who they is and who ain't who they ain't." I was like, okay, poet.
He picks Jess.
Yeah.
Obviously. And then you think he's going to maybe pick Lacey, because he's like, Lacey, could you come on down here? And then you see Heather go like,
oh my God.
And he's like, bottom line, he's like, I just feel like you're not who you are. And I feel like down the road that's going to come. And Lacey goes, okay. And he's like, so your tour ends here, Lacey. I'm sorry. She goes, yeah, it's fine.
Well, I mean, I guess that maybe at least they like had some good sex. Listeners of Lacey's podcast, did she say the sex was good? Like, tell us what's up on that. Still not going to listen to it, but yep, like, want to know. And then Lacey says she's absolutely in shock right now outside. She can't believe she got eliminated. You can't do that. The way to game Brett is to withhold sex at all costs. And then you have to low and slow seduce him, make him feel like a man. And like, you don't suck the dick.
Mm-mm.
You don't suck the dick until you have the commitment level that you're seeking. No. Unless you're truly fine to just go home. Like, it's it's not going to get you. It's not going to get you far. You'll get to stick around until push comes to shove, but then you're going to be kicked to the curb.
Totally. Yeah, you have to.
It's a long game of seduction.
It is.
And sex and seduction are not the same thing. But now the ladies are finally getting some fun thing to happen, and they're going to Cabo.
Yeah, Brett's like, pack your bags. And he's like, we're going to be going to the beautiful shores of Cabo San Lucas. And then they're like, woo! And then the camera cuts out to a shot of the house. And you just hear Brett go, I got a pack.
I love his, like, the final lines of dialogue that he says. There was one where he's like, and where's Big John? And Big John's, like, sleeping in, like, a corner. I wish it had cut to Big John and Magdalena just, like, fucking. Sucking. Big John has fully bowed out. He's like, I'm not getting actually paid anything for this. He found love. He probably is getting paid like a bag of kettle chips and $50 for each episode.
That's all the women are making too.
Yeah, every woman, they did not get kettle chips. They just got like Lay's. They got Lay's like kettle cooked.
How much really do you think they made?
I don't know. Do you get paid on elimination based shows?
Oh, probably not.
Maybe you make scale like $250 a day. You probably get stipend. You get like $50 a day stipend for 2 weeks.
I got a pack. Where's Big John?
Where's Big John?
I just want a montage of all the cuts to the outside.
And Brett going, I need my insulin. That was one of them.
I'm not laughing at that.
No, it's just like they're all ridiculous. It's always is like a quippy one-liner with Brett. And I love that they thought one of the quippiest ones was like, someone give me my insulin. Yeah.
But they're all non sequiturs. It's like. What's that smell? Or like,
we gotta get some air freshener.
I feel like there's a ghost in here.
Why does it smell like sashimi? Someone get me my blood pressure medication.
I need my blood thinner.
Did anyone hear that? Sounds like there's a varmint in the walls. It's all just shit like that. Was that plant here before?
Who's that kid? Who's that woman?
Are you bleeding?
Was she on the show the whole time? Are you bleeding?
Is that blood?
Who's honking that horn?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. And he goes, hey, who's standing outside the window over there?
Did anyone see that ghostly apparition last night?
Is there a horse
who's
on
whispering?
The roof? There's hooves on the roof?
Also,
who's whispering?
I always think we're coming up on the last episode, and then there's still way more episodes left. There's still two more. Thank fucking God that there's a reunion episode, because that means we get to see one more glimpse of our queen rodeo. Who truly has been through the ringer on Instagram lately. If you're not following her, I'm not going to say, you can find her on Instagram. She is a absolute must follow, is just bringing so much levity and joy to my life as like a follow on Insta. It's great. Mm.
I'm still laughing.
Is that my hat?
Whose clogs are those?
Anyone have my blood thinner? Can I get a beta blocker over here? I just tripped over some shoes.
You like boots too? I just tripped over a child.
That's a banging corset.
Whose dog is that? Is that a bat?
A bird got in here. Oh, wait. What is that? Has anyone seen my jeans? Has anyone seen my workout jeans?
Has anyone seen my workout boots?
I got a lift. Has anyone seen my workout jeans? I'm struggling with Brett sweating in jeans. I can't handle it.
Whose skateboard is that? Rollerblades.
Just stepped on a shard of glass. Someone have a Band-Aid? Hey, where's the first aid kit?
Is someone snoring?
Someone kept me up snoring all night last night. I need a wink of sleep.
Just the pan out of the house outside of the...
And it's just stream of consciousness from Brett. Hey, you got a pen? You got a pen I can borrow?
Can someone pay my parking meter? Oh my god.
Guys, there's still two episodes.
Two more. And stay tuned to our newly minted series.
Salty Utah Queens.
Where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt
Lake City. God, those ladies. Spread the word.
Tell people we're
recapping. Tell everyone. Scream it from the roof. Carrie and Laura are recapping. And stay safe out there.
Stay safe.
Wear a mask. Don't wear jeans when you go work out, men.
I'm talking to you, men. Straight men.
Also, ladies, feel free to intervene on someone's life. I want you to film like tattletale style, call out style. If you see someone wearing jeans working out, I want you to call them out and send me the video.
I love that.
We need to just start shaming jean workout people into not wearing denim at their workouts. There are other options.
Could be over.
It could change things. Even like Amazon Basics has, I'm sure, workout pants for men.
Totally.
AKA shorts. Okay.
I can't function anymore because I'm laughing. You can follow Laura.
You can follow Carrie at eCario. Icaro. You love to laugh.
You can write into the Patreon at SexyUniquePod.
SexUniquePodcast@gmail.com and sign up for Patreon, patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast. So much bonus content waiting for you. It's great. And we'll catch you next week. Love and light.